Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Monday morning, October 3rd, 2022 episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. This podcast is dedicated to the public reading of the Word of God, along with the reading of prayers and devotions, and my input on the goings that are going on in our times and in our world. I do all that I can to make sure that my input on that is going to be on a biblical basis. It's not going to be extremely random. The whole point of this podcast is to be biblical, not just to spew things from a worldly standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint. So that's where we will focus. Our prayers, when we read them, are from the Valley of Vision, which is a collection of Puritan prayers. Our devotion is from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. We do the morning devotion. The same is true with the prayers. We will do a couple of specific prayers that I do every day. That's part of my morning routine. And then the morning prayer for the day. And then we also, with our reading, we read from the Legacy Standard Bible. We do that because the Legacy Standard Bible is the most, it's one of the newest translations, but it is the most textually accurate to the original documents. So we stick with that. All the links to what I'm going to read are going to be in the show notes, along with links to where you can get hard copies of the things I'm reading. I do read from the links I'm actually providing to you when I'm podcasting, because it's easier for me to read while I'm podcasting, while I'm recording. But I would definitely recommend to get the hard copies. One, because like with the prayers, mentioned I do a morning prayer, there's an evening prayer for each day, and I would definitely recommend you do that, read that with yourself or your family even. But Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, there is also an evening devotion for each day as well, and I would definitely recommend you read those. As far as the Legacy Standard Bible, I just think it makes sense to have the most recent translation at your fingertips to be able to go through, whether you've got access to the internet or not. That's why I would encourage you to get hard copies. Again, full disclosure, I do not have a hard copy of the Legacy Standard Bible yet. As I've said before, our wife and I are trying to figure out which one we want for the household and all that, and, you know, all the different alternatives you can get, whether we want to get just the single column with nothing else or the single column with... I think it's with you can get it with the cross references on the inside. I think it's on the inside with the white space on the outside to do notes and stuff. You can get it double columned with the cross references in between. There's all kinds of different, and what kind of papers, what kind of cover. We're trying to figure out which kind we want. And of course I say that because it was a gift to us when we went to the 2018, Shepherd's Conference. We got like kind of the high end. They gave it as a gift, the Preacher's Bible, when it first came out, from Grace to You and Master Seminary and all. And it is wonderful. I mean, it is incredible. It is extremely expensive. It was a wonderful gift, but it was so expensive that the local places around here were not willing to touch them to try to like engrave your name on them or anything like that. They won't touch them. They're afraid of hurting the covers and stuff. So my wife and I are trying to decide. We don't really have any intention of spending on one that expensive, but we've been looking at some of the others, trying to figure out where our breakover point is to do it. But again, and I'm rambling, but definitely would encourage you to have the hard copy. And I will say, with the Legacy Standard, like I said, you can read it online, but I also have it pulled down with a number of my sermon prep software pieces where I can pull it up on a regular basis, whether I've got the internet or not, just if I have enough power to light up a computer, or even on my tablet and stuff. I can pull up the Legacy Standard Bible and be able to read. So I would definitely recommend getting the hard copies for these. It's definitely worth your while, because please understand, the whole point of this podcast is to share part of my morning routine. I've found that when I don't put in the time first thing in the morning, and you can do it where you want to, what works for you is fine. So I'm not trying to tell you that this is how you have to do it time-wise, but that if I don't take this time first thing in the morning before I start my workday, before I really dive into the rest of the day and deal with the rest of the world, I really, really struggle to maintain my Christian walk. I really, really struggle to keep my mind on the godly and not the worldly, on the spiritual and not the temporal. I really do. And we're called as Christians to keep our mind on the spiritual, to keep our mind on the godly, and for that to shape our walk so that our walk is a more godly walk. Our walk gets closer and closer and closer to look like the walk of Christ. That walk he did when he was here on earth, that was totally blameless and built up that righteousness that he turns around and drapes us with as he stands there with us before God at judgment, that it gets closer and closer to that walk. And that's the thing. I found that I struggle the more with that. I struggle with sin more and more when I don't do this each morning. But I've told you before, I actually do more reading than we do here together. There's other plans I do and things like that. And I would definitely encourage you. A lot of people say, I want to get better at reading the Bible and whatever. Find a plan. And I'm not the first one. Somebody else, a couple of weeks ago, one of the podcasts I listened to, they were saying it very good. Actually, I think it was Dustin Binge on somebody's podcast said it. Dustin's a wonderful man of God, a great resource for on podcasts and his teaching that he does and everything else. But he stated out flatly, I hope I'm remembering it right, that it was him, that find a Bible reading plan. The one we're reading through, and I've told you this before, the one we're reading through is Robert Murray McShane's, that, you know, and he saw the need, the massive need for that among his congregation. So he generated this plan. And it's read through the Bible in a year so that they would be more and more in the Word of God. This is one of two that I'm working on, and a third I'm trying to add in to even be more in the Word. I don't, please understand, I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I'm saying that to encourage you that it can be done. I'm full-time employed. I have a normal job. I'm fortunate that I work from home, so I can do this before I start my day, and so I can be around my wife and I can be around my grandson when we're keeping him and all. But I work a full-time job, and it can be a very stressful, but a job I enjoy. But we've got to fit this stuff in and around. We do. We have to. And I, like everybody else, sometimes I struggle to find the time. And in a lot of cases, it's because I'm not bothering to make the time. It's not that there's not the time there. It's that I'm not making the effort to put the time in. But we've got to find that time. So I would definitely encourage you to do more reading beyond this. Spend more time in prayer beyond this time we spend in the morning. I'm grateful to get to spend this time with you. I love you. I love you all out there. And I'm grateful to get to spend this time with you, but you need to spend more. We all do. I as much as you. I'm not trying to say that from a soapbox. I'm saying that from down in the dirt with you. I also want to be honest, as happy as I was yesterday morning and as pumped as I was that we were going to church, things stacked up on the wife and I, and we did not make it to church. I say that to you because I want to be completely upfront. I don't want to ever come across that I'm trying to encourage you to do things that I'm not doing, that I try to push you to go to church when I don't bother. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to encourage you to do something just to make a point. It's really, really critical. And my wife and I were both just crushed that we didn't make it to church yesterday. And we're already taking steps to make sure that these kind of things don't come up next week to keep us from getting back over to the same church we were going to go to this Sunday. So with all that said, let's go ahead and get into our reading for this morning, as has become our regular practice. Our first readings from this morning are from the Valley of Vision, Puritan Prayers, and our first two, as is our habit each morning are going to be resting on God and grace in trials. So resting on God. O God, most high, most glorious, the thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed. But thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond, thy goodness no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee, every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd. Hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicate it, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief bars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. Amen. And grace in trials. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I am sinful even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross, by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me, for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways, but without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust in thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And second day morning, it's called God Over All. O God, all-sufficient, thou hast made and upholdest all things by the word of thy power. Darkness is thy pavilion. Thou walkest on the wings of the wind. All nations are nothing before thee. One generation succeeds another, and we hasten back to the dust. The heavens we behold will vanish away, like the clouds that cover them. The earth we tread on will dissolve as a morning dream. But thou, unchangeable and incorruptible, art forever and ever, God over all, blessed eternally, infinitely great and glorious art thou. We are thy offspring and thy care. Thy hands have made and fashioned us. Thou hast watched over us with more than parental love, more than maternal tenderness. Thou hast holden our soul in life and not suffered our feet to be moved. Thy divine power has given us all things necessary for life and godliness. Let us bless thee at all times, and forget not how thou hast forgiven our iniquities, healed our diseases, redeemed our lives from destruction, crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfied our mouths with good things, renewed our youth like the eagles. May thy holy scriptures govern every part of our lives and regulate the discharge of all our duties, so that we may adorn thy doctrine in all things. Amen. All right, I'm going to grab a sip of coffee here. Oh, good coffee. All right. And we're going to do our Spurgeon's morning and evening this morning. It's the morning, October 3rd article, the text for it is Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Angels are the unseen attendants of the saints of God. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. Loyalty to their Lord leads them to take a deep interest in the children of his love. They rejoice over the return of the prodigal to his father's house below, and they welcome the advent of the believer to the king's palace above. In olden times, the sons of God were favored with their visible appearance, and at this day, although unseen by us, heaven is still opened, and the angels of God ascend and descend upon the Son of Man, that they may visit the heirs of salvation. Seraphim still fly with live coals from off the altar to touch the lips of men greatly beloved. If our eyes could be opened, we should see horses of fire and chariots of fire about the servants of the Lord. For we have come to an innumerable company of angels, who are all watchers and protectors of the seed royal. Spencer's line is no poetic fiction, where he sings, "How oft do they with golden pinions cleave the flitting skies like flying pursuant against foul fiends to aid us militant." To what dignity are the chosen elevated when the brilliant courtiers of heaven become their willing servitors? Into what communion are we raised since we have intercourse with spotless celestials? How well are we defended since all the 20,000 chariots of God are armed for our deliverance? To whom do we owe all this? Let the Lord Jesus Christ be forever endeared to us, for through him we are made to sit in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. He it is whose camp is round about them that fear him. He is the true Michael, whose foot is upon the dragon. All hail Jesus, thou angel of Jehovah's presence. To thee this family offers its morning vows. Amen. All right. And our reading for this morning from the scriptures is 1 Kings 6, Ephesians 3, Ezekiel 36, and Psalm 86. So 1 Kings 6. Now it happened in the 480th year, after the sons of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of Yahweh. As for the house which King Solomon built for Yahweh, its length was 60 cubits, and its width 20 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. And the porch in front of the nave of the house was 20 cubits in length, corresponding to the width of the house, and its depth along the front of the house was 10 cubits. Also for the house he made windows with artistic frames, and he built against the wall of the house stories encompassing the walls of the house around both the nave and the inner sanctuary. Thus he made side chambers all around. The lowest story was 5 cubits wide, and the middle was 6 cubits wide, and the third was 7 cubits wide, for on the outside he made offsets in the wall of the house all around, in order that the beams would not be inserted in the walls of the house. The house, while it was being built, was built of stone prepared at the quarry, and there was neither hammer nor axe nor any iron tool heard in the house while it was being built. The doorway for the lowest side chamber was on the right side of the house, and they would go up by winding stairs to the middle story, and from the middle to the third. So he built the house and completed it, and he paneled the house with beams and planks of cedar. He also built the stories against the whole house, each 5 cubits high, and they were fastened to the house with timbers of cedar. And the word of Yahweh came to Solomon, saying, "Concerning this house which you are building, if you will walk in my statutes and do my judgments and keep all my commandments by walking in them, then I will establish my word with you which I spoke to David your father, and I will dwell among the sons of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel." So Solomon built the house and completed it. Then he built the walls of the house on the inside with boards of cedar. From the floor of the house to the ceiling, he overlaid the walls on the inside with wood, and he overlaid the floor of the house with boards of cedar. And he built 20 cubits on the rear part of the house with boards of cedar from the floor to the ceiling. He built them for it on the inside as an inner sanctuary, as the Holy of Holies. And the house, that is, the nave in front of the inner sanctuary, was 40 cubits long. And there was cedar on the house within, carved in the shape of gourds and open flowers. All was cedar. There was no stone seen. Then he prepared an inner sanctuary within the house in order to place there the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh. Now the inner sanctuary was 20 cubits in length, 20 cubits in width, and 20 cubits in height, and he overlaid it with pure gold. He also overlaid the altar with cedar. So Solomon overlaid the inside of the house with pure gold, and he drew chains of gold across the front of the inner sanctuary, and he overlaid it with gold. So he overlaid the whole house with gold until all the house was finished. Also the whole altar, which was by the inner sanctuary, he overlaid with gold. Also in the inner sanctuary, he made two cherubim of olive wood, each 10 cubits high. And 5 cubits was the one wing of the cherub, and 5 cubits the other wing of the cherub. From the end of one wing to the end of the other wing were 10 cubits. The other cherub was also 10 cubits, but the cherubim were of the same measure and the same form. The height of the one cherub was 10 cubits, and so was the other cherub. And he put the cherubim in the midst of the inner house, and the wings of the cherubim were spread out, so that the wings of the one was touching the one wall, and the wings of the other cherub was touching the other wall, and their wings were touching each other in the center of the house. He also overlaid the cherubim with gold. Then he carved all the walls of the house round about with carved engravings of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers from within the inner and outer sanctuaries. And he overlaid the floor of the house with gold in the inner and outer sanctuaries. For the entrance of the inner sanctuary, he made doors of olive wood, the lintel and 5-sided doorposts. So he made 2 doors of olive wood, and he carved on them carvings of cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, and overlaid them with gold. And he spread the gold on the cherubim and on the palm trees. So also he made for the entrance of the nave 4-sided doorposts of olive wood, and 2 doors of cypress wood, the 2 leaves of the one door turned on pivots, and the 2 leaves of the other door turned on pivots. And he carved on it cherubim, palm trees, and open flowers, and he overlaid them with gold evenly applied on the engraved work. And he built the inner court with 3 rows of cut stone and a row of cedar beams. In the 4th year, the foundation of the house of Yahweh was laid in the month of Ziv. Now in the 11th year, in the month of Bul, which is the 8th month, the house was completed throughout all its parts and according to all its plans. So he built it in 7 years. Now Ephesians 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, if indeed you heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, about which when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it was now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given, to proclaim to the Gentiles the good news of the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for all what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore I ask you not to lose heart at my afflictions on your behalf, which are your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would give you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being firmly rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or understand, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. All right, in Ezekiel 36, now as for you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus says Lord Yahweh, before the enemy has spoken against you, aha, and the everlasting heights have become your possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus says Lord Yahweh, for good reason they have made you desolate and bruised you from every side, that you would become a possession of the rest of the nations, and you have been taken up in the speech of their tongue and the rumors of the people. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of Lord Yahweh. Thus says Lord Yahweh, to the mountains and to the hills, to the ravines and to the valleys, to the desolate wastes and to the forsaken cities, which have become plunder and objects of scoffing, to the rest of the nations which are round about. Therefore, thus says Lord Yahweh, surely in the fire of my jealousy I have spoken against the rest of the nations and against all Edom, who gave my land to themselves as a possession with wholehearted gladness and with scorn of soul to drive it out for plunder. Therefore prophesy concerning the land of Israel, and say to the mountains and to the hills, to the ravines and to the valleys, thus says Lord Yahweh, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my wrath, because you have borne the dishonor of the nations. Therefore thus says Lord Yahweh, I have sworn that surely the nations which are around you will themselves bear their dishonor. But you, O mountains of Israel, you will put forth your branches and bear your fruit for my people Israel, for they will soon come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you will be cultivated and sown. I will multiply men on you, all the house of Israel, all of it, and the cities will be inhabited, and the waste places will be rebuilt. I will multiply on you man and beast, and they will multiply and be fruitful, and I will cause you to be inhabited as you were formerly, and will treat you better than at the first. Thus you will know that I am Yahweh, and I will cause men, my people Israel, to walk on you and possess you, so that you will become their inheritance, and never again bereave them of children. Thus says Lord Yahweh, because they say to you, you are a devourer of men, and have bereaved your nation of children, therefore you will no longer devour men, and no longer bereave your nation of children, declares Lord Yahweh. I will not let you hear dishonor from the nations any more, nor will you bear reproach from the peoples any longer, nor will you cause your nation to stumble any longer, declares Lord Yahweh. Then the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, son of man, when the house of Israel was living in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their ways before me was like the uncleanness of a woman in her impurity. Therefore I poured out my wrath on them for the blood which they had shed on the land, because they had defiled it with their idols. Also I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the land. According to their ways and their deeds I judged them. Then they came to the nations to which they came, and they profaned my holy name, because it was said of them, these are the people of Yahweh, yet they have come out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says Lord Yahweh, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you have come. I will prove the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am Yahweh, declares Lord Yahweh, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. And I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your uncleanness, from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart, and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to do my judgments, and you will inhabit the land that I gave to your fathers. So you will be my people, and I will be your God. Moreover, I will save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the grain and multiply it, and I will not bring a famine on you. I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the produce of the field, so that you will not receive again the reproach of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves to your own faces for your iniquities and your abominations. I am not doing this for your sake, declares Lord Yahweh. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and feel dishonor for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus says Lord Yahweh, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the waste places will be rebuilt. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of being a desolation in the sight of everyone who passes by. And they will say, this desolate land has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste, desolate, and ruined cities are fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that remain all around you will know that I, Yahweh, have rebuilt and ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, Yahweh, have spoken and will do it. Thus says Lord Yahweh, this also I will let the house of Israel inquire of me to do for them. I will increase their men like a flock, like the flock for holy offerings, like the flock at Jerusalem during her appointed times. So will the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. Then they will know that I am Yahweh. All right, and now we're going to do Psalm 86. Incline your ear, O Yahweh, and answer me, for I am afflicted and needy. Keep my soul, for I am a holy one. O you, my God, save your slave who trusts in you. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you I call all day long. Make glad the soul of your slave, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and by nature forgiving, and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Yahweh, to my prayer, and give heed to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my distress I shall call upon you, for you will answer me. There is no one like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and they shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Yahweh. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever. For your loving kindness toward me is great, and you have delivered my soul from Sheol below. O God, arrogant men have risen up against me, and a band of ruthless men have sought my life, and they have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth. Turn to me and be gracious to me. O grant your strength to your slave, and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, O Yahweh, have helped me and comforted me. All right, that's our reading for the day. I hope you go out and have yourself a wonderful day and a wonderful week. We definitely want to continue to remember those that have been hit by Hurricane Ian and that are dealing with the aftermath as well, and we'll go ahead and do that in our prayer. So let's go ahead and pray this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to be able to again come together with you this morning to partake of your word, to partake of the prayers and the devotion. Dear Lord, we would pray that this time together would equip us, would edify us, would lift us up, would set us to walk more surely as your son, to walk more surely in a likeness of your son, in a likeness of you, that we would have a true Christian walk in this world, and we would be the witnesses of Christ, the witnesses for you in this world that is so in need of those witnesses, that we would truly go out and take your word to all the nations. Lord, we would pray that this morning. Lord, at the same time, we would also pray for all those that have been impacted by Hurricane Ian, as it's gone back and forth from hurricane to tropical storm to whatever. It has caused such damage and destruction. And Lord, we would pray for all those affected by it. We would surely pray for their physical well-being, of course. But Lord, most of all, we would pray for their spiritual well-being. We would pray that those that are professing Christians, that are truly your children out there, that they would truly stand up and they would be imitators of you. They would be imitators of Paul as he is of Christ, that they would truly show your glory and they would bring glory and honor to you throughout these areas. And that even in these trials, they would be strengthened by you. And Lord, we would pray for the unsaved that are out throughout there, that honestly, these occurrences would bring them closer to you, would drive them to you so that they prepare to come to a saving grace in Christ. Lord, we would pray that most of all, because obviously their spiritual health is so much more important than their physical health. And that's true for all of us, Lord. And we would pray that for them in this time. Dear Lord, please be with us as we go out among our day. And again, help us to bring honor and glory to you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, go on out and do what you're going to do today. And in all that you do today, do it for the glory of God. Have a great one. God bless.